Ben-Gurion then said, quote, "The attempt to sever Jewish Jerusalem from the State of Israel will not advance the cause of peace in the Middle East or in Jerusalem itself. Israelis will give their lives to hold on to Jerusalem, just as the British would for London, the Russians for Moscow, and the Americans for Washington," end quote. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 206, Ben-Gurion versus the UN. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. It was in late 1949 that David Ben-Gurion gave one of the most important addresses of his life, one which is not well known today, one which deserves to be remembered. Following the conclusion of the War of Independence, the map of the Middle East had of course been altered from the proposed UN partition plan, the plan that the Arab countries and armies had rejected. Following the War of Independence, Israel's borders were larger than that proposed in the partition plan, and perhaps most importantly, Israel's borders included part of Jerusalem. It was this that the United Nations sought to undo, voting that the city should be internationalized, which was the exact opposite of the stated plan of Israel to include Jerusalem as its capital. Ben-Gurion responded to the UN's vote by permanently moving the Knesset to Jerusalem and by delivering in the Knesset a response to the UN. The Jewish Virtual Library, which provided a summary of the aforementioned events, gives us the text of Ben-Gurion's speech, a speech that is especially worthy of study this week as we prepare to celebrate a day that in 1949 was yet to come, the unification of Jewish Jerusalem. Speaking to the Knesset, Ben-Gurion outlined why Israel would never agree to the city's internationalization. We will discuss much of this speech and parse its profundity. Ben-Gurion said, quote, "As you know, the UN is currently discussing the issue of Jerusalem and the holy places. The State of Israel is a member of the UN, not because of political convenience, but because of its traditional, deep-seated commitment to the vision of world peace and the brotherhood of nations, as preached by our prophets and accepted by the UN." End quote. Here, of course, Ben-Gurion is stating to the world something that Menachem Begin would later express when he accepted in Oslo the Nobel Peace Prize, that it was actually the Jewish people that first presented to the world a vision of world peace. This was the vision of Isaiah and Micah in Hebrew scripture. Ben-Gurion continued, describing Israel's membership in the UN, quote, "This membership obliges us from the podium of Israel's first Knesset to tell all the nations assembled at the UN and all those who love peace and justice in the world what has been in Israel's heart since it became a united nation under King David 3,000 years ago, as regards Jerusalem, its holy city, and as regards its attitude to the places which are holy to the other religions," end quote. Here, Ben-Gurion emphasizes a theme that we have noted in this series before, that it was through Jerusalem under David that Israel became a united nation. In order to heal the wounds of the civil war between his own family's forces and that of the house of Saul, King David moved his court from Hebron, deep within the territory of his tribe Judah, to Jerusalem, the city shared by Judah and Benjamin, the tribe of Saul. It was through Jerusalem that Israel became a united nation. And that is part of the reason for the Jewish love for Jerusalem. Ben-Gurion, in referencing this moment when David ensured that Israel was a united nation, was expressing to the United Nations that Israel would stay united through its love of Jerusalem and its refusal to give it up. Ben-Gurion continued, quote, "When we proclaimed the establishment of the renewed State of Israel on 14 May 1948, we declared that the State of Israel will guarantee freedom of religion and conscience, of language, education, and culture. It will safeguard the holy places of all religions. It will be loyal to the principles of the United Nations Charter. Accordingly, our delegation to the UN announced that Israel would honor all the existing rights regarding the holy places and sacred buildings in Jerusalem, assure freedom of worship and free access to all the holy sites under its control, recognizing the rights of pilgrims of all religions and nations to visit their holy places, and assuring freedom of movement for clergymen. We agreed to allow effective UN supervision of the holy places and the existing rights in a way that would be agreed to between Israel and the United Nations. At the same time, we see fit to state that Jewish Jerusalem is an organic, inseparable part of the State of Israel, just as it is an integral part of Jewish history and belief. Jerusalem is the heart of the State of Israel. We are proud of the fact that Jerusalem is also sacred to other religions and will gladly provide access to their holy places and enable them to worship as and where they please, cooperating with the UN to guarantee this." End quote. Here, Ben-Gurion was emphasizing freedom of access without openly stating the obvious, which is that the one constant of Jerusalem's history following 70 CE had been the lack of full access rights to holy places for Jews. Even at the moment that Ben-Gurion was speaking in 1949, the sites in Jerusalem most dear to the Jewish people were closed off to Jews by Jordan. But full access, Ben-Gurion was adding, would be granted by the Jewish state to members of other faiths. Ben-Gurion then turned to the United Nations. He said, quote, "We cannot imagine, however, that the UN would attempt to sever Jerusalem from the state of Israel or harm Israel's sovereignty in its eternal capital. Twice in the history of our nation were we driven out of Jerusalem, only after being defeated in bitter wars by the larger, stronger forces of Babylon and Rome. Our links with Jerusalem today are no less deep than in the days of Nebuchadnezzar and Titus Flavius. And when Jerusalem was attacked after the 14th of May, 1948, our valiant youngsters risked their lives for our sacred capital, no less than our forefathers did in the time of the First and Second Temples. A nation that for 2,500 years has faithfully adhered to the vow made by the first exiles by the waters of Babylon, not to forget Jerusalem, will never agree to be separated from Jerusalem. Jewish Jerusalem will never accept alien rule after thousands of its youngsters liberated their historic homeland for the third time, redeeming Jerusalem from destruction and vandalism." End quote. Ben-Gurion was here reflecting a profoundly traditional Jewish theme, that to give up the right to Jerusalem would be to betray the faith and loyalty and sacrifice of all those that had fought and longed for Jerusalem, not only in the present, but throughout the many Jewish generations. Ben-Gurion then turned in his remarks to why Israel no longer felt bound by the partition plan, according to which Jerusalem was to be internationalized. He continued, quote, "We do not judge the UN, which did nothing when nations which were members of the UN declared war on its resolution of 29 November 1947, trying to prevent the establishment of Israel by force, to annihilate the Jewish population in the Holy Land, and destroy Jerusalem, the holy city of the Jewish people. Had we not been able to withstand the aggressors who rebelled against the UN, Jewish Jerusalem would have been wiped off the face of the earth, the Jewish population would have been eradicated, and the state of Israel would not have arisen. Thus, we are no longer morally bound by the UN resolution of November 29, since the UN was unable to implement it. In our opinion, the decision of 29 November regarding Jerusalem is null and void." End quote. These remarks set the stage for the state of affairs that followed over the decades. The UN, which helped bring Israel into being, would turn on Israel. Supporters of Israel's birth, such as Eleanor Roosevelt, were, as we cited earlier from Walter Russell Mead, deeply invested in the future of Israel as a vindication from their perspective of what could be achieved when the international community worked together. But following the survival of Israel, the United Nations would largely be the site where the international community would target Israel. The United Nations, Ben-Gurion said in his remarks, did nothing to save Israel when its existence dangled by a thread. And therefore, he explained, Israel would not feel itself bound by the UN's demands. This was more than a response to the UN in the moment. It was a moral principle being enunciated by Ben-Gurion, a principle that the state of Israel would have to emphasize in the face of the quote-unquote international community again and again. Ben-Gurion then said, quote, "The attempt to sever Jewish Jerusalem from the state of Israel will not advance the cause of peace in the Middle East or in Jerusalem itself. Israelis will give their lives to hold on to Jerusalem, just as the British would for London, the Russians for Moscow, and the Americans for Washington," end quote. Here, one is reminded of the famous conversation between Chaim Weizmann and Robert Balfour, where the latter wondered at the Zionist movement's attachment to the Holy Land and Jerusalem. Balfour supposedly said something like, "Must it be Jerusalem?" To which Weizmann is supposed to have said something to the effect of, "Suppose I were to say to you, must it be London?" To this, Balfour is reputed to have replied, "But Mr. Weizmann, we have London." And Weizmann immediately responded essentially, "Well, we had Jerusalem when London was a marsh." Ben-Gurion also announced here to the world in the aforementioned passage that, quote, "the attempt to sever Jewish Jerusalem from the state of Israel will not advance the cause of peace in the Middle East or in Jerusalem itself," end quote. In other words, for Israel to reflect weakness would not facilitate peace with its enemies. Peace would be achieved through strength. As Prime Minister Netanyahu noted at the signing of the Abraham Accords, this is the significance of the biblical verse, "Hashem oz la'amo yitain, Hashem yivarech et amo v'shalom." May God give strength to his people, and may God bless his people with peace. In this great speech by Ben-Gurion in 1949, Israel would make clear that it was not leaving Jerusalem ever, that it was setting up permanent roots there, and, unbeknownst to them at the time, in the process, it was therefore setting the stage for the unification of the city less than 20 years in the future. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.